Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
They have a pole in that.
Oh. Yeah. Hello, everyone. Happy Tuesday. We're still in a celebratory mood because it was a good weekend. And
another great day to be in America.
Another great day to be an American.
Tuesday. Yep.
Despite all the problems we have, we're still in a great mood this week, and I hope that carries over to you. And another reason I'm in a great mood, Bish, we're addressing a long overdue band here that I think probably our audience are fans of, and I can think of, you know, five or six people in our community who absolutely have to be big XTC fans, but somehow we've just sort of overlooked them. And so we're addressing that by talking about their fourth album, Black Sea, which turned 40 years old in September. And we are about to drop the needle on side two. And when you do that, you hear the following song.
The first side is like my favorite side. Well, this is my favorite record, but that first side is my favorite side of all time. But one of my favorite songs of theirs, is Towers of London.
Mm.
And in a way, I guess I don't know where I heard this, that this was Partridge's attempt at writing a song that was as great as Rain by the Beatles.
So, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I don't know whether he pulled it off or not, but it's such a great song.
So beautiful. And man, you were talking about yesterday the sound of the guitars and how they were kind of, you know, really prominent relative to XTC. But man, do they sound great on this track. The guitars are so cool sounding, the way they just kind of are floating around, and man, it's so great to listen to.
Yeah, the production is so cool.
Yeah, really, really amazing. The one thing I'm reading here on the internet, which I didn't know, on the source of all human knowledge, Wikipedia, it says, the night after John Lennon was killed, XTC played a gig in Liverpool where they performed both Towers of London and Rain in tribute to John Lennon's passing. Wow.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. All right. So that's the start of side two. Man, that sets the bar pretty high. But let's hear the next tune, Paper and Iron.
Yeah, now we're going to go from a leisurely start, right? Towers
yep.
of London.
Yep.
If you're a drummer, right?
Yep.
And now we're going to get back into Paper and Iron, and this is a total.
Working for paper, for iron, work for the right to keep my time.
Fantastic stuff. I love that line, working for the right to keep a tie on. That is such a great, great line.
Brilliance on Partridge's part. So.
And you're right, man. The drums are really slamming, and it's almost like the music is moving underneath the lyrics. You know, the lyrics are kind of floating in one sense and yet keeping up in another.
It may not, he may not have had some of, up until this point, he didn't have their biggest hits, but yet he was the driving force in the band.
And you talked a lot about yesterday about the segue on side one. How do you feel like the song sequence up, or is it just as strong on the second side?
Yeah, they continued on. And it's, you know, I don't know if they intentionally did that, mm-hmm. whether they thought, oh, well, let's look at the sequencing and let's look at the beginning of this next song and see if they could. I have no idea if they intentionally did that. I don't think it's as strong as side one, but the songs are still good. And the segues are still pretty damn good.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I think it's interesting anytime a songwriter, and having done a little bit of that ourselves, Bish, we tend to take a certain approach to song titles, and not always putting the, you know, the words or the song title in the, you know, it doesn't appear in the lyrics, perhaps. But I always think it's interesting when somebody chooses to use brackets and, you know, to kind of put a parenthetical phrase on a song title. And this one in parentheses is Notes and Coins. So Paper and Iron, Notes and Coins, which is really interesting. And yet, as we get farther along on this side, there's going to be another song with a parenthetical phrase inserted into the end. But it's not this next one. This next one is another, just a great song title. I love this song title. It's called Burning with Optimism's Flame.
Never seen her glowing, all that bright she's throwing, like some aurora from her head is growing, reaching to the ground and all around like a Navajo blanket. Never heard her singing, now she's gently ringing, like copper. What on earth is bringing up this dream? The guy who got the cream is licking her lips and smiling like her treasure gun. She claims she's found a way to make her own light. All you do is smile, you banish the night. She says she's burning with optimism's flame. Away, away. She says she's burning.
The breakdown there is just fabulous, right there in that part. And man, the way he crams those words in at the beginning of this song is amazing.
His genius on display right there. And again, another drumming workout.
Yeah.
But yet, it's not overtaxing to play to. It's kind of, I wouldn't say drumming 101. It's kind of drumming 201.
Yeah.
but it was great, you know, another great workout.
And tell us about how you would play along to this album. Would you just put the headphones on and play your drums? Yeah.
No, but back in college, I used to have all these pillows set up, and that's, you know, I never took drum lessons, back in grade school or anything like that.
Never could have been in any of our bands if you had taken lessons.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. But yeah, that's how I learned to play. It's on pillows. And, you know, whether I actually learned how to play is actually up for debate. Maybe.
Definitely did. Yep.
Well, you're going to say that because, you know, you got to defend yourself.
Yeah. Hey.
Anyway. Yeah. The lyrics here are so great.
Just fantastic. And
self-effacing in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. Partridge really, you know, he had tumultuous relationships, and he poured them into his lyrics.
Yeah. And the cover of this album is great. One of the things I love about it, and another quality that our band shares, the album title doesn't appear on the front, and the band's name doesn't appear on the front. It's just these.
Well, it depends what version you have. So I've got.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
So I've got three versions of this record. I had the nice price one, right?
Okay.
And then a couple years later, I found a version that was wrapped in a green paper bag.
Oh, I've seen that.
Black
yeah.
Black Sea.
Right.
Then a couple of years after that, I found one that was in kind of a black plastic bag.
Huh.
XTC Black Sea.
Oh, interesting.
So the release, and I think that's how it was released in the UK, or maybe originally released. I do want to point out something here.
Okay.
Right now, this album went to number one in one country.
Really?
Do you know what that country was?
It's got to be Australia.
No, close.
New Zealand.
So, therefore, the greatest rock and roll country of all time.
Yeah, well, probably is. Yep.
Well, you know.
But, well, it's up there.
You know, making their case to be the greatest.
Yeah, without a doubt. And it's an interesting discussion. I mean, the band were signed to Virgin in the UK, so... Great point, Vish. I mean, all these records in their purest form came out on Virgin in the UK. And I think there were several different labels that issued them in the United States, right?
Well, you know, CBS did.
Right, CBS.
Originally, yeah.
Yep. And this one I have is actually issued by RSO Records, which was the label the Bee Gees were on in the United States. So you remember that label with kind of the weird sort of animal on the front?
Originally, Virgin had a...
They had all kinds of different deals, yeah.
I think they originally had it with CBS at that time. So the records that I have, I don't see RSO on that. So.
Right. You probably have... that's probably a later copy, or I don't know. But let's go ahead now, and we're going to go ahead and get into that other song that I mentioned that has a parenthetical phrase in the title, and it sounds like this. Sergeant Rock, and then in parentheses, is going to help me.
So as you're drumming along to side two here,
yep.
You've got to the segue is right into Sergeant Rock. Starts off with that drum roll, right?
Uh huh.
And you've heard the album 20,000 times, like I or did I say 500?
Yeah.
Whatever. You know exactly where that drum is coming in, so you're playing along to side B here, and you know exactly when that is coming in because it's so well sequenced and it's so, you know, it's in beat with the Burning with Optimism's flames.
Mm-hmm,
and all
mm-hmm. Well, it brings up a question too, Bish, that I'd be really interested in asking you is, and I know we've had this conversation a lot, you know, since we played music together, but when you're playing this album, are you listening? You know, traditionally people say the bass and the drums work together, but you must be listening to the guitar as a drummer. To cue on these songs. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. So drummers have to, you get into a show or something, and the sound is not very, meaning the monitor that the drummer's hearing is not very good or what have you. You've got to key off certain things, and it's usually that the guitar that the drummer plays off the guitar player, and I certainly do off you, I think more than Andy. Mm-hmm. But the vocals have to be there too, because that is the big key. So yeah. if you decide to do some Frank Sinatra on us, I was probably going to be, you know, lost or whatever. But
yeah, and it's a great point about Black Sea, because the melodies driven by those vocals are so important to, all the songs. Like, although I think you brought it up too, and have to help me remember which song, but it's supposed to be an instrumental, right? But I couldn't.
Language in Our Lungs.
Yeah, there you go. Right. But I couldn't not put the words. So there's a great example of it. Yeah. All right. Well, if we haven't turned everyone into total XTC fans, we're hoping to, and we're gonna drop the needle here on the last song on the record, song 11. So you get the 6 on side 1, and you get 5 on side 2, and here is the big closer, Tim Hoffman. Pay attention. That wire.
So I was actually thinking that myself. That's almost like something that could have been pulled off on 154, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
Same
absolutely.
Year.
Yeah.
But that, so if you're playing drums to this in your bedroom, you've gone through 45 minutes of workout, then you kind of got to come back.
Oh my God.
I mean,
finishing strong. Wow.
Right. 7 minutes too.
Yeah.
So that's why you only get 5 songs on side 2. So
yeah. Seven minutes. Amazing build up. And like you said, man, the drums just tattoo in your brain when you listen to this. And that really, this is, you know, this is the drum sound of U2's War, right? Drum sound that put them over the edge, man, you know, you can hear it right here. And, you know, arguably, Lily White made U2, but you know, it's a powerful way to end this record, and man, it's so different than a lot of the other stuff on the record too. It's, you know, it's like a totally different card they pulled out of their deck at the end.
Yeah, they did. I think back. On the second album, or no, I think it's first album. They did a cover of All Along the Watchtower.
Yeah,
and it's really amazing. But you know where they came from. They came mm-hmm. from that. They grew up on that late '60s rock I don't know what you want to call it, but that guitar distortion power. I don't know, but it's really shown here at this last song.
So. Yeah, I know what you mean. I mean that kind of era of the '60s, where you know when everybody began exploring the limits and you know ins and outs of electric guitar, right? After everybody bought an electric guitar after Hard Day's Night or whatever it was, and then really started exploring it, and guitars and amplifiers were starting to be manufactured for, you know, specifically for super loud rock bands too. So there's a lot that.
You know, they started in 72, which is kind of amazing.
It's amazing,
you know? Yeah. And they were probably, you know, heavily, you know, you think about in a couple of years, they're gonna don on their psychedelic mm-hmm. dance clothes and do Dukes of Stratosphere and yeah. all that. Which, if you've, you know, which are amazing imitations of 60s psychedelia down. I mean, every bit of those songs.
Unbelievable.
Are,
yeah.
And so they, you know, in probably 72, they probably started out as a glam band. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, a Slade cover band is probably what they originally started.
Yeah. Well, and you know, it's interesting, even though this band is different from XTC, although shares, you know, maybe a few similarities here and there. For those who listened to our most recent Perfect Pop episode when I talked about the Swell Maps, I mean, they're a band that started like 72, 73 as well, like in brothers, you know, at home messing around, but didn't put out a record until 77. And then a different take on angular, you know, music. But in some ways, you know, there's that side of XTC too. You know, to yeah. the Swell Maps. Yeah.
yeah. Now another under appreciated.
Totally. Band. Totally. Yeah. I mean, go back, listen to that Perfect Pop, episode, folks. When I talked about Let's Build a Car. So we know where you put this record in your own personal ranking, Bish. So it's obviously at the top of the XTC heap, but for those who, you know, may not know a ton about XTC. Would you recommend that they start here at Black Sea, or would there be another place? Or if they do love this one, you know, where would you kind of guide people?
Well, so as the years crept along, a few more, they came out with the album Skylark,
yeah.
which had their biggest hit in Dear God.
Yep.
And you know, that album, so Terry Chambers left, mm-hmm. the drummer left. And mm-hmm. I said yesterday about how I thought the classic XTC period really ended when he left.
Okay. Okay. Fair enough.
I did say that yesterday, right? Yep. Anyway, so Skylarking is such a phenomenal record too. And there was a certain guy that I may have talked about at some point. But again, the sequencing on that record, and to that point, all the records after that were the sequencing went into, you know, well thought out. There, you know, Skylarking is more of a song cycle. Black Sea is not, but Skylarking is. A much more mature record,
mm-hmm.
you know, the amps weren't tuned up to, turned up to 11, and they weren't touring anymore. You mm-hmm. know, they had completely, become a studio band at that point. So one of those two records, my wife loves Oranges and Lemons, which came out about 3 years after that.
Yep.
After Skylarking, that's a great place to start too.
So. Mm-hmm. Okay. And, the name we're referring to is Todd Rundgren. He produced Skylarking. And,
oh, yeah, that guy, yeah. Right.
I'll tell you, it's interesting. It's so interesting that, and I learned this later, one of my favorite songs on that record is the song Grass. And the B-side, I guess, originally was Dear God, right? And it just was one of those classic situations of like, man, the B-side's better than the A-side. Or like, you know, grabbed you more.
Right.
And it ended up becoming a big hit. So,
again, and we go back to Colin Moulding here. Grass was written by Colin Moulding.
Yep.
And, you know, and that, again, was the lead single to that. And Dear God, which Rundgren would tell you he wanted to put on the album to begin with. Yep. But they weren't sure about it. And then it was a huge hit. So then they re-released the album with Dear God on it and all that. So, you know, you could, I was doing this earlier. You could make a greatest hits of XTC that were just Colin Moulding songs.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
Great stuff. As soon as the next album after this, English Settlement, the first two songs are Moulding songs, Runaways and Ball and Chain, you know, which are, you know, if you've been listening to, New Wave, whatever, you've heard these songs at some point. This isn't like Swell Maps, you know.
Right, you
know,
right.
Not a lot of people know Swell Maps and didn't know that, you know, how great they were and underappreciated. So, but you know, everybody has some, well, not everybody, but some idea of an XTC song.
And I think their influence, I think, continues to be felt in a lot of bands, right? And the one thing that really struck me, too, is how fresh this music sounded going back and listening to it for the first time in a while. I mean, it's so inventive. It's so clever. It's so well produced. It's so well written. The lyrics are so sharp that it doesn't feel dated in any way. I mean, we were having a little bit of a side discussion last night on our Friday night Hootenanny, which side note, anyone can join by going to silverspod.com and signing up for free for our newsletter. You get the link there, and we all kind of hang out on Friday nights. And we were having a discussion about albums. Did they have legs? I think it started with movies, but man, a band that has tremendous legs is XTC. They have not dated in any way and sound just as relevant and fresh, especially this record. You know, as anything. And if you don't know them, I'm jealous of you for having the ability to go back and discover them now. So thank you, Bish, very, very much for leading us through this record. Yeah, and I'm excited to go back and listen to the other ones that I have on my shelf, including Skylarking. Thank you, Bish, very, very much. You've got plenty of homework, folks. If you're not an XTC fan, if you are, you can go back and revisit a lot of this stuff. It's a good time to do so. And, you know, since you're in a celebratory mood, I think you'll enjoy it even more. That's right.
Great day to be in America.
That's right. Well said. All right. So tomorrow, I believe, if all goes according to plan, you may hear the voice of our good friend Mike Snyder. And we will talk to you guys.
Where's he from?
I think he might be from Kansas originally.
Oh,
yeah.
That's a cool place.
Yeah, I think so. And he, it's Kansas week, folks. We're only going to talk to people that are from Kansas, like the Bish. And anyway, thank you again, Bish. And thanks to XTC for making such great music. We've had a couple of great days here on Rockin' the Suburbs, and we will talk to you guys tomorrow. I am Patrick Foster, and joining me for the past 2 days has been
Dave Bishop.
Thank you, Bish. We will talk to you guys tomorrow.
Last kind of say, yeah, we guess that we it's not we.